KNOM Update News. I'm Zachariah Hughes, and it's 9:02. Senator Mark Begich chastised state lawmakers for their approach to education during his annual legislative address. He highlighted staffing cuts in Anchorage and Juneau as evidence that the legislature was not allocating enough money to schools.
I'll be blunt. I don't agree with what's happened in this building on education funding in recent years. It's like you're built a fire in a wood stove, but refused to add enough wood. Now some are complaining the stove doesn't work and we need a new, brand new heating system.
Begich later told reporters that he thought Governor Sean Parnell's funding proposal did not go far enough. Parnell has suggested raising the base student allocation, or the amount of money a school gets for each child enrolled, by $85 this year. Smaller increases would be built in for 2 years after that. Begich also came out against a measure that would allow state funds to be used at private schools.
I believe strongly we should never amend the Alaska Constitution as a fix to education. Public dollars are for public education, period.
The line got applause from Democrats and from some moderate Republicans in the legislature. The measure was introduced last year by Senator Mike Dunleavy, a MATSU Republican. It needs approval from two-thirds of the legislature before it can be put on the ballot for a majority vote by the people. Dunleavy says he was perplexed by Begich's attention to internal state issues instead of focusing on federal policy. Following his address, Begich noted that while his son currently attends private school, he thinks it would be inappropriate for government to cover his tuition. The Iditarod's website was shut down on Sunday because of a deliberate attack on the site's operations. Iditarod.com released a statement yesterday saying that they'd come under, quote, attack from nefarious groups, unquote, suggesting that's why access was limited on March 2nd, starting at 12:35 p.m. Nobody at the Iditarod's race headquarters in Anchorage was immediately available for comment. KNOM was directed by a race official, Joanne Potts, to the staff that maintains Iditarod.com for specifics on Sunday's events. But as of right now, more information has not been released. Iditarod.com says they've corrected the service outage and that in the event of another incident, they'll be sending registered users updated race logs by email. We'll have more information as it becomes available and check in with KNOM's Iditarod updates at 9, 12, and 5 o'clock after the news and weather. Alaska state troopers say a 41-year-old Oregon man landed a small plane on a frozen lake in Alaska after his aircraft lost power. Troopers say Jason Robinson was not hurt in the incident, reported on Thursday. He was the only one aboard the Cessna 207, operated by Bethel-based Ute Air. Troopers say Robinson landed the plane on a lake about 15 miles outside the western Alaska community of Nightmute. People on snowmobiles transported Robinson to the community. The National Transportation Safety Board has been notified, and an official with Ute Air was not immediately available for comment on Monday. Alaska's U.S. Senate race is shaping up to be a big-money affair. One of the hidden assets the campaigns deploy is a professional fundraiser. Senator Mark Begich and the Republican frontrunners hoping to unseat him all list professional fundraisers in their campaign finance reports, but they declined to talk about it. That's not unusual, says fundraiser Kirsten Borman. If she had Alaska clients, she wouldn't be talking to us either. But Borman works mostly for Florida congressional campaigns. She says there's too much at stake for a campaign to pull back the curtain.
It's the way it is that money, your money in the bank, your cash on hand, your quarterly reports really are a large indicator that the world looks at as to how your campaign is doing.
She writes a blog on fundraising and serves as something of a spokeswoman for the profession. Money is blamed for a lot of the evils in politics, Borman says, but she's proud of what she does.
I facilitate people being able to invest in the candidates and the type of government that they want, and that, to me, is free speech at its best and at its finest.
She says fundraisers usually work on commission, 10 to 15%, and stick to clients of one party. Borman, who works only for Republicans, says each new job helps her develop her donor base, one of the biggest assets any fundraiser brings to a campaign.
And obviously, the more clients you have, the better you get to know donors. I mean, fundraising is all about relationships, and it's about building and maintaining relationships with people who want to invest in good public servants.
Good fundraisers collect data on what prompts each donor to give and what issues they care about. Incumbents start with rich data, but even first-time candidates have networks to mine. Take Dan Sullivan, for example, one of the Republicans running against Begich. About a third of the $1.2 million Sullivan raised last year came from Ohio, much of it from people associated with his brother, Frank, CEO of RPM International. Sullivan's reach isn't limited to Ohio. He also hired MK Group, a fundraiser for the Bush family and National Right to Life. Meanwhile, his GOP rival, Mead Treadwell, hired Lisa Spies, a former Mitt Romney fundraiser. Her website says she's Treadwell's national finance director. University of Connecticut political science professor Paul Herson says candidates are really operating two campaigns, one for votes back home and one for money.
Fundraising, unlike collecting votes, is a fully national activity.
The campaign for votes has a limited season, he says, but it ends on Election Day. For incumbents, at least the campaign for money is perpetual, and it's intensified since Citizens United. That U.S. Supreme Court decision let money flood into political attack groups. Herson says it created a massive wild card.
Candidates didn't know what was coming at them, and so the threat level became higher, and candidates who could raise lots of money, and that is mainly incumbents, raised more because they were not sure of what they would face in the election.
Senator Begich relies on a Washington outfit called Benchmark Strategies for fundraising. His campaign paid Benchmark more than $100,000 in the last 3 months of the year, far more than his Republican challengers paid their fundraisers during the same period. Begich also leads the way in the money race, but Stephen Medvick, associate professor of government at Franklin and Marshall College, says there's little evidence fundraising consultants actually reap more than a campaign would raise on its own.
Lots of organizations and lots of big donors, they keep their eye out for candidates who they think might have a chance. And if a candidate shows any sign of being competitive, they'll cut a check and send it, sometimes, you know, completely unsolicited.
Big fundraisers, though, lend cachet to a campaign. They make a candidate seem more viable. That alone draws money, particularly from national donors. Even Borman, though, a fundraiser herself, says the importance placed on campaign money has gone a little bit too far. She says it frustrates her that clients, even those who are already members of Congress, have to spend an enormous amount of time raising money. And Sunday was the Tour of Anchorage ski race, and the Bering Straits region had several successful finishers. This year's race was a little bit different from most years. Because of poor snow conditions in Kincaid Park, the trail was rerouted and the normal distances modified. Categories were split up between a freestyle and classic skiing on 19 and 26-kilometer courses. Sierra Corsetti of Unalakleet placed 41 out of 155 in the women's 26-kilometer freestyle, and both Sam Schmidt and Charlie Painter of Nome finished the men's race in the same category. Rosa Schmidt of Nome was 7th, and Katie Daniels of Unalakleet 36th in the women's 19-kilometer freestyle, and Nome's Bianca Trowbridge took 69th out of the full 238 competitors in the same race. And Siku Johnson of Unalakleet, just 14 years old, came in 26th out of almost 300 racers in the men's 19-kilometer freestyle. Daniels, Johnson, and Schmidt, and I should point out that's Katie and Ariel Daniels, both of Unalakleet, will all be competitors at the Arctic Winter Games in Fairbanks 2 weeks from now. The price of gold is down $12.80 to $13.3750 an ounce. Silver's down 25 cents to $21.16 an ounce. And zinc keeps edging up. It's at 97 cents a pound. As of this time, Alaska Airlines Flight 152 is scheduled to arrive in Nome at 11:40 a.m. Unofficially, 0 degrees outside the KNOM studios, 10 and a half minutes after 9 o'clock.